there. Welcome to the North Shore Church Podcast. We are delighted that you've decided to take this step of faith and join us for the next few moments together as we explore one of the messages from our Sunday morning gatherings or special event given to you by one of our pastors or special guests. We trust that you can connect with us through the show notes or through our website, thenorthshore.church.
Well, we're doing something a little bit different. It's not that much different. I'm going to read the same passage four times from four different translations today. And so you don't get bored. I put them on the screen for us. But I want to just get this passage kind of in our minds, in our hearts, and let it sink in a little bit for us. And so it's from Psalm 68, 4 to 6. And you're welcome to head to your own Bible if you'd like to do that. Psalm 68, verses 4 to 6. And in case you didn't know, it was actually on the screen already if you didn't turn there yet. But here we go. From the New International Version, which is the one that's open right here. The font is bigger in my notes, so I'm going to read it there. It says this. It says, sing to God, sing praise of his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice before him, his name is the Lord. A father to the fatherless, a defender of the widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, and the rebellious live in sun-scorched land. So if you can read that from back there, great. If not, that's fine. You can get the notes from me later. Let's read it from the Amplified Version. It says, sing to God, sing praise to his name. Lift up a song for him who rides through the desert. His name is the Lord. Be in good spirits before him. A father to the fatherless and a judge and a protector of the widow is God in his holy habitation. God makes a home for the lonely. He leads the prisoners into prosperity. Only the stubborn and the rebellious dwell in a parched land. All right, we're going to read it two more times from the English Standard Version. Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord. Exult before him. Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. And finally, from the Christian Standard Bible, sing to God, sing praises to his name. Exalt him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord. And celebrate before him. God in his holy dwelling is a father of the fatherless and a champion of widows. God provides homes for those who are deserted. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious live in a scorched land. Well, here we go. Four times saying mostly the similar thing. I was very fascinated by the fact that three out of the four translations say that he rides on the clouds, and the English Standard Version says he rides through the desert. I just find that interesting. Whether it be clouds or whether it be deserts, though, it doesn't change who our God is. In fact, this whole psalm uses seven different names of God, all to declare that he is Yahweh, he is God, he is worthy of endless praise. Whether or not he rides through the desert or rides through clouds or both, no matter how you cut it, he is God. No one greater, no one higher, yet in his holiness, he is intimately close to the friendless and the dispossessed. He's infinitely close to those that are broken. He's infinitely close and wants to draw near to those who are hurting. This is the beauty of the passage, and this is the beauty of God. The psalmist extols God in this great, mighty way as a command to us, as an invitation for us. Give praise to God, our King, our Lord, Yahweh. There is no one like him. And yet in his holiness, the psalmist wants us to know this morning, he is the father to the fatherless. He is with us when we feel far away. Whether he rides in the clouds, rides through the desert, whether he's in his holy dwelling, he's still a father to the fatherless, a defender of the widow. He makes a home for the lonely and leads the prisoners out with singing. So today, Father's Day, I don't want to think just about earthly fathers. I want to focus our attention this morning on the fatherhood of God. Because every good picture of fatherhood, protection, provision, compassion, justice begins with him. Countless passages talk about God being a father to the fatherless. Let me give you just a couple examples. I'm not going to give you the whole list this morning. You can do that on your own. But what I like when you head over to for Exodus, for example, you get to Exodus 22:22-24. There's a whole list of do nots. Like, don't do this, don't do that. And so this is the command to the people of Israel in Exodus 22. He says, "Do not take advantage of the widow or the fatherless. If you do and they cry out to me, I will certainly hear their cry. My anger will be aroused and I will kill you with the sword. Your wives will become widows and your children will become fatherless." We see it again repeated in Deuteronomy 10:18. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow. He loves the foreigner. Defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. If you haven't got the picture yet, God cares about those who are broken the most. If you haven't picked up on that, God cares for those who are broken and hurting the most. As the God who is higher than anything else, anything more than we can imagine and beyond anything that we can understand, he is Father to all, especially to those without the fathers, a defender of the widows. He provides warmth, fellowship, happy home for the lonely, and those who have been unjustly condemned to prison. I always like the end of the passage we just read. Like, if I ever end up in prison falsely accused, I can't wait to get released from prison so I can leave prison singing endlessly. How many would pay money to see that? How many would pay money not to see that? Okay, that's what I thought. But there's a beautiful picture, right, of this falsely accused, wrongfully convicted prisoner being set free. This is who our God cares about. And then there's the comparison with the opposite, right? Here is the goodness of God, but there's also the justice of God. The righteousness of God commands that this. If there are those who are rebellious, which would be the opposite of righteous, it's a different story. It says God's a righteous God because he's higher than the rest. The rebellious are relegated to emptiness and the desolate wilderness. It's easy to praise the wealth of this world and strive for it, but if it causes us to become rebellious contrary to the higher things and the holy things of God, then we find ourselves in desolate places. If we don't allow ourselves to be in alignment with the goals and the purposes of our Heavenly Father, then we find ourselves in the opposite place of where he's called us to be in his dwelling. But today I want to leave you with a message of hope. I want to help us reside in his presence. I want to help us reside in his holy place, where even in the troubles of this world, we can lean into the holiness of our Heavenly Father. Even in our brokenness, maybe in our barrenness, maybe in our loneliness, that we can lean into the good, high things of God. But before I do that this morning, I'm done with the dad jokes. I've already exhausted my limit for the year, okay, for the day. But I thought, it's Father's Day. We need to give some tips to our spouses, to our husbands, and to our fathers today. Now, if you go to church, you know, you go to Mother's Day, and they talk about how wonderful, how blessed it is mothers are. And you get to Father's Day in churches, it's like, dads, you got to do better. This is not that kind of message, okay? This is not that kind of message. Are you with me? So here we go. Here's some tips for you, dad. This is not a message to condemn you. It's not to harm you. It's to help you. Help you be a good father that takes in the widow, the orphan, cares the way that Jesus does. Are you ready? I know. Just building anticipation. Okay, here you go. Step up. Stay hidden in the shadows, like by being a servant, but step up at the same time and be seen. Would you listen better, but please talk more as well. Plan things and be spontaneous. Spend less time at work, but also make more money. Get in better shape, but enjoy the food that we prepare for you, Dad. And finally, please take the reins, but not from your wife. I hope that encouraged you this morning, Dads. I hope that wasn't demeaning at all in any way, shape, or form. I thought that was very good advice, inspired by the scripture of Gary. What's the point of these gimmicks? you can create, you can paint this perfect picture of what you think a father should be, what a husband should be, what a good man of God should be. You can have all these ideas. People can project those images on you, on what they think that you should be. But I want you to know this morning is that our identity doesn't come from what I think I should be. My identity doesn't come from what you think I should be. My identity doesn't come from what the strangers of the world think you or I should be. The image of the Father comes from the Father. I don't think I said that quite right, but you got the point. The image of a healthy, holy Father comes from the Father, demonstrated to us by his unending, never-ending, outlasting love. The perfect picture of the Father is someone who gives up his own son for the salvation of the world. The one who gave up everything he had for all of creation because he loved us so much. And so we can paint pictures of what we think this should look like, and we can encourage one another. We can help one another. Absolutely. We can have our superhero dads and say, I want to be like that guy when I grow up. Like, I look around the room, we got some great dads in the room today. We got like two ultimate girl dads. We got both Frank and Tracy, both raised daughters. They're my heroes because I have two daughters. Daughters, not dollars. They're my heroes. I look at this young man over here, young son, that he's working hard. He's a really great kid, by the way. Love the picture you posted. And he's working hard to be a good dad. And he's looking up to the heroes in the room. I'm going to stop naming people before I get in trouble and forget someone. But I got to pick on Patrick. The newest dad in the room, I think. I think you're still the newest dad. Oh, I thought she was sleeping. She's watching me on the iPhone, I bet. You know, we watch the way that he cares for his family. I mean, what a hero, right? We can look up to Patrick and go, what a hero, what an inspiration. And we're not wrong. I don't know if you know this. Between Aaron, Frank, Tracy, and Patrick, I don't know if you know this or not. They're actually not perfect. Ask Judy, ask Rachel, ask their kids. They're fantastic fathers, but they're not perfect. They need Jesus just like the rest of us. We could ask Amy as well. Maybe Amy would like to come give a testimony of how she leaned on God, her heavenly Father, when her earthly father... No, sorry. I was just making up stories that aren't true. But if the Spirit leads you, let us know. Let's just move on, Pastor Gary. So where do we begin? Well, we begin with God. We got these great images. We got these great men of faith. But let's look at God, our Heavenly Father, because he is the Father. First of all, who is he? What should we do when we have an encounter with him? Well, the psalmist says, when you think about God, or when you're not thinking about him, think about him and praise him. He is the God, he is Yahweh, who deserves our praise and our worship, because he is the Lord. There is no one else like him. There is no one that can ever measure up to who he is. And so he says, when you think about God, worship him. When you talk about him, praise him. When you're not thinking about him, think about him and praise him. Sing praises to God. Lift up his holy name in praise. If you're not a singer, just do it when no one else is around. Go for a walk in the bush. There's no one else there. Do it in the shower when the water is loud and the exhaust fan is loud. No one will hear you. If you don't like to sing at all, just use your voice and just speak the words out loud if you must. Exalt him, he who rides in the clouds or through the desert places. Of course, I kind of like the comparison of translations because it gives us a bit of a formula of when to praise God. Because we think, you know, big fluffy white clouds, the sun shines through them, it's a beautiful day, the cloud comes, gives us a reprieve, a relief from the heat. It's a beautiful moment, but then you think of barren, dry desert places, and yet he's still God. Whether he is on the clouds or in the desert, he is still God. And so whether you're having a great day or you're having the worst day of your life, the psalmist says, sing praises to our God. Because God is God. The psalmist says, put God in his rightful place. He's not small. He's not weak. He's not distant. He's not confused. He is Yahweh. He's majestic. He is faithful. He is worthy of endless praise. There's other psalms that say this as well. Psalm 34, sing praises to the Lord, O his saints. Give thanks to his holy name. Psalm 95:1, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Psalm 100, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Philippians 4:4, Gary, let's get from the Old Testament. Let's go to the New Testament. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. If you don't know what that word means, it just means to turn. So you see R-E, the word re, means to turn. And joy, turn to joy. If you're walking through barren, dry, desert places, if you're having one of those days, turn to joy in the Lord. Don't pretend your problems don't exist, but take a second and pause and praise. Hebrews 13:15, through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this other than to say, pay attention to this word, a sacrifice of praise. It means we're giving something up. We are sacrificing something for the sake of praise. Maybe that's just giving some time, setting some time aside. Maybe to start your day off. Maybe you're in a season and it's a desolate, dry, desert season. And so I'd say, get up in the morning, sacrifice a bit of time, and in light of your season of barrenness and brokenness, begin to praise. Put God in his rightful place. Because you know what the world would tell you to do? With your faith in those moments, they would say, you just tell God where to go. That's what they'd say. And I'm going to tell you, yeah, you tell him where to go. You tell him to go to his holy high place and be the holy God that he is in your life. Sacrifice of praise. We could do a series on praise. We're not going to do that this morning. Praise is not what we do just after everything gets fixed. Praise isn't something due when we get set free walking out of that prison that I talked about earlier. Praise is what we do because God is still God no matter what. God is still God before everything gets fixed and made better. I would also say the psalmist does not begin the psalm with, oh Lord, here are the problems. Because God doesn't want to begin with our problems. The psalmist begins with who God is, in spite of, in light of our problems. It doesn't matter what you're going through. The psalmist says, give praise to God. If you don't know how to do that, come to church and we do it every single Sunday morning. If you don't know how to do it at home, ask Pastor Katie for the ultimate worship Spotify playlist and she'll get it to you. She's better at that than I am. That's why I say go to her. I can tell you a song to sing. If you don't like to sing, I would say just begin to open the book of Psalms and you'll read psalm after psalm after psalm, poem after poem of praises to God. Speak them out loud. Speak them out loud so your ears hear from your own mouth and your brain will start to believe what your heart already knows to be true. All right, let's look at who else is God. God is worthy of praise. We're going to praise him. God is defender of the vulnerable because he is father to the fatherless, protector of the widows. Not only does Psalm 98 talk about the majesty, it moves us from the majesty and the beauty of God, but it moves us to the nearness and closeness that God desires to have with his creation. It moves us to know that God cares about those who are broken. Even though he's up in his whole holy, high dwelling, God cares for you. If you don't believe me, say it to yourself. God cares about me. Maybe you need to whisper that to yourself right now. God cares about me. God's holiness does not make him distant from our suffering. His holiness doesn't make him cold. It doesn't make him indifferent. His holiness means his justice is pure, his mercy is pure, his love is pure, and his compassion is pure. He is the father to the fatherless, not just aware of those who are fatherless. He takes the responsibility and becomes the father to the fatherless. not just sympathetic towards those who are fatherless. He becomes the father to the fatherless. He is a defender of the widows, not just watching from a distance, not just saying, oh, that's too bad, thoughts and prayers. No, he's the defender. He's the protector. He's the champion. Not only is he the champion, he champions widows as well. If you don't know Scripture very well, you find this to be very true very quickly. In the ancient world, widows and orphans were among the most vulnerable people in all of society. Without a father, without a husband, without family protection, life would be very, very dangerous. The life expectancy was very, very low. The life quality was extremely low. The likelihood of poverty was extremely high. The likelihood of being put into slavery was extremely high. And yet Psalm 68 tells us, where their earthly covering is missing, God himself draws near. This is not a small detail about God. This is right into the heart of who God our Father is. Where the earthly covering is missing, God himself draws near. Other verses I mentioned, I said I was going to read them and I didn't. Here they are now. Isaiah 1:7, this is what it says. Learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. Psalm 146, verse 9, the Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. James 1:27, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. It's a bit of a paraphrase there. There is no shortage of Scripture to demonstrate the heart of the Father, that God cares for those who are hurting the most. And if God cares the most for those who are hurting the most, then our marching orders as we follow and serve him as our Heavenly Father are very simple, very quite clear, that we should go and do likewise. Worshiping God means reflecting his heart. Living a lifestyle of worship towards him means reflecting the very things of God himself. This tells us that we cannot separate worship from compassion. We can't lift our hands to God and deny and the God who defends widows and then use the same hands to ignore those who are vulnerable. We can't sing to the Father of the fatherless and then refuse to care about people who are abandoned. That's only like half worship. It's like, okay, I'm going to fully surrender, but I'm going to lift one hand instead of two. Like the bank robber's holding the gun to your chest. And he's like, put your hands up. And he says, I'm only going to partially surrender. And you put one hand up. Don't think that's going to go well with the bank robber. Anyways, our worship can't be half-hearted. You can worship with one hand, that's fine. You can worship with the other hand, that's fine. You can worship with both hands, that's fine. If you want to know the positions and postures of worship, you could go to our website, look at the development days, and listen to Pastor Elizabeth talk all about worship. And you can learn about worship there. But if we don't care for the things of God, then our worship isn't really worship. Psalm 68 says that he's the Father that is above every father. He's the defender, he's the healer, he's a holy God who comes to be a friend to the friendless and the dispossessed. All of us know what it means to need our Heavenly Father. Number three, not only is God holy, worthy to be praised, not only is he God, father to the fatherless, he is defender of the widow, but God is the restorer of the broken. Because he brings the lonely home and he leads the captives into freedom. Not only does God deserve our praise because he's God, not only does God deserve our praise because he cares for the most vulnerable, he deserves our praise because he brings restoration, just like we sang in the song this morning, New Wine. Lord, make me a vessel, make me into something new. He brings restoration. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. Or the English Standard Version said, God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. God is not only a defender, God is our restorer. He does not only see loneliness, he sets the lonely in families. He does not only see captivity, he leads prisoners out. He doesn't only see brokenness, he brings restoration. This is the same God of Exodus. He brought his people out of slavery through the wilderness towards promise. He is the God who makes a way through dry places. He is the God who brings people out with singing. For some other examples, Psalm 107, he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. 1 Samuel 2:8, he raises up from the poor, from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap. Psalm 147:3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Luke 4:18, he has set me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. In John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, then you will be free indeed. God's salvation is not only rescued from something. You've probably heard me say this before if you've been around church for a while. God's salvation is not simply for us to be rescued from our brokenness, from our pain, from our suffering, but it's restoration into something, for something on purpose. Because he brings the isolated into family. He brings the captives into freedom. He brings the broken into healing. He brings the dry places to life. Psalm 68 says, the warning, of course, the rebellious dwell in a parched land. There's the contrast we have between those who would follow and those who would not. The righteous rejoice before God and live under his rule. The rebellious resist God and live in a parched land. The righteous are brought into belonging, freedom, and fruitfulness, but the rebellious dwell in dry barrenness, and of course, the ultimate punishment, separation from God. And yet God never designed us, never desired for us to be separate from him. Because as much as we talk about and we hear from the psalmist, praise God, lift him up in his holy place, God desires to be near to us. God never desired us to be separated, desolate, in a parched land away from him. Psalm 1 gives us the same picture, but Psalm 1, 3-4, it says this, and I always hear this kid's song in my head every time I read this verse. From the Christian Standard Bible, he says, he is like a tree planted beside flowing streams that bear its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, whatever he does prospers. To contrast that, the wicked are not like this. Instead, they are like the chaff that the wind blows away. And here's where we need to be honest with ourselves and before God. The rebellious are not just the people who are out there. Apart from grace, rebellion is a part of our human condition. The rebellious, if we look in the mirror, could be us. Romans 3:10, none is righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I quote this one many times. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. So if we're going to start asking, how are the righteous, unrighteous becoming righteous? The answer, as I mentioned in our tips for husbands and fathers, isn't to simply try harder. The answer is Jesus. The answer is the bridge of Jesus from unrighteous to righteous, not by self-effort. Well, if God cares about the widows, then I'll care for the widows, and then God will think that I'm good enough, and then I can be a part of God's family. That's not the bridge. That's not the picture that Scripture paints for us. If I care about the things of God, then God will care for me, and then I'll be okay. No, God cares for you before you care about the things of God. It says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Even when we were still in our rebellion, heading for the dark, desolate, parched places and separation from God, God cared for us. And so the answer isn't for us to try harder. It's, you know what, if I get to church 50 out of 52 Sundays, I'll be good. No, you can't try harder. Jesus is the bridge. It's not self-effort. It is simply through the grace that he offers us and through our faith in him to believe. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Romans 3, 21 to 22. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Philippians 3, 9. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. That's one of my favorites, the book of Philippians. Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. This is a gift of God. So here's the good news this morning. Through Jesus, the rebellious, we don't have to remain rebellious. This is good news for us. If you're spiritually dry, you don't have to stay in a parched land. If you're lonely, you don't have to stay isolated from God. If you're the prisoner, you don't have to stay bound to the sin of the past. To the fatherless, you don't have to stay without a father. Christ makes the unrighteous righteous by the grace through faith. Wherever we find ourselves, God has made a way for us to know him. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteousness for the unrighteousness, that he might bring us to God. That is the bridge that we're talking about this morning. The righteous one came for the unrighteous ones. The Son came to bring us to the Father. The one who was never rebellious entered the desolate places to bring us home. And this reflects the heart of the Father. And so our marching orders, what are we sitting here? Where do we get to the point there, Pastor Gary? Why are we reading all of this morning? What is it that we need to know? Well, one, in every season and every moment, God is worthy of our praise. Number two, God cares deeply about those who are hurting and broken. God cares deeply about those who are far from him, and he did everything he possibly could to bring them home. And he creates a spot and he creates a place to make home for them. He makes a way for the unrighteous when there was no way. So what does that mean for us? Well, we've already talked about this morning and almost every Sunday. How do we move from here and cross the bridge to here? It's easy. We confess our sins. We repent of our sins. We put our faith in Jesus and receive his grace in our life. We're adopted into his family. Okay, I've done that. I've done that for years, Pastor Gary. Now what? Now we step into the moment where we begin to demonstrate our care for the things that God cares for. This is where we continue to demonstrate and live out our faith with action. Whether that's through giving, whether that's through serving, whether that's through praying, whether that's through worshiping without restraint, even when no one else is. Maybe it's worshiping and praising even when no one else is watching. You know, a modern-day widow or a modern-day orphan may not look like someone in the past. It may not be someone that's just wearing black clothing all the time, grieving in a corner publicly. But maybe the modern-day widow for us to care for is someone who is alone, someone that is unsupported, overlooked, exhausted. Maybe it's just someone going through a season where they're done carrying things by themselves, and we as the body of Christ can come alongside and lift up and encourage and support. A modern-day orphan may not be a child without parents. It may just be someone who has no family covering, no encouragement. It's not a safe place. No one is speaking life or identity over them. Maybe they even have a good home, but no one is speaking faith into their life. No one is sharing the fact that there's a God in this world, a God in this universe that cares deeply for them, and that is our job as his church, to reflect the mission of God. It's why we do things like PA Day Camp. It's why we do things like Summer Day Camp, so that kids can know that there is a God who is real, who loves them and cares for them. John, 1 John 3:18 says, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Luke encourages us, or Jesus from the Gospel of Luke encourages us, be merciful even as your Father is merciful. And one I think that probably sums it up really well for us this morning. If we want to be like our Heavenly Father, Ephesians 5:1, therefore, I always like when you read a therefore, it means you have to go do some homework and read. Well, what was said before the therefore? What was said before the but? There's your homework. It says in Ephesians 5, Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us. I'm going to give it away because it's like my favorite book of the Bible. One of my favorites. It says, before the creation of the world, God chose you. Before any of this ever existed, God knew your name and he chose you. Therefore, go and be imitators. There, you don't have to do the homework now. It's Father's Day. Take the day off. Have a barbecue. Go fishing. Do what you got to do. In light of who God has made you to be, in light of who God has restored you to be, go and do like him. Go and be imitators of Christ. Talk to the people that no one else will talk to. Touch the leper that no one will touch. Let the Spirit of God come alive inside of you. Serve him and serve the world. Serve the church in a way that you've never have before, and you'll be an imitator of Christ. Psalm 68 tells us that we have a God who deserves praise and worship because he is the Lord, majestic and faithful. He is the God who defends the vulnerable. He is the father to the fatherless, protector of widows. He's the God who restores the broken because he brings the lonely home and leads captives into freedom. He is the God who created us in his image and redeemed us through Christ to live our lives like him. And so maybe our ways to respond here this morning are very simple. Maybe Elizabeth can come play that song again for us this morning, New Wine. Maybe you just need to hear these words of practical instruction, some time just to reflect between you and God. The first step, maybe we hear these words and you go, oh, you know what, maybe I've let God down in a few ways in my life. I got good news for you this morning. We all have. That's not the good news. The good part is that he gives us a way out. This morning, maybe our first step is simply this, to repent. Maybe we're just living our lives apart from him. Maybe we do all the right things. We say all the right things. We give. We serve. We show up. Maybe we just attend. But maybe we're still far from God and we're living in this season of rebellion. And so we just need to repent. Maybe that's our first step. Maybe that's your first step this morning. Maybe we've been chasing the things of this world far more than the things of God. So today we repent. Maybe for some of us, maybe we are the widow. We are the orphan. We are the fatherless. We're dry. We're empty. Maybe we're just spiritually tired. And that makes us feel far from God. The invitation for you this morning is not to stay there. We know through Jesus the rebellious don't have to remain rebellious. The unrighteous can be made righteous. The dry soul can be restored. The prisoner can be set free. Maybe some of us, we're on the right track and we're just kind of stuck. We're like, okay, what do I do next, God? What's my next step? And maybe your next step is this. Maybe we just need to seek and ask God to help us become more like him. Okay, God, I've come this far. I've taken these steps of faith, Lord. I've gone through the repentance. I've my sins have been washed clean, and I've been serving, and I've been giving, and I've been helping others, and I've been encouraging. But God, what's my next step? Lord, I know I'm not perfect. But what do I have to do to become more like you? Jesus, what do I need to do to be an imitator, a true imitator of you? We're not looking to be perfect this morning. We're just looking to be humble and recognize that we need God. And ultimately, our prayer is the same this morning. It's, Father, make me more like you. If you want something a little more accurate, Father, make me more like your son. Make me more compassionate. Make me more faithful. Make me more aware of the lonely. Make me more willing to defend the vulnerable. Make me more ready to serve. Make me more like Jesus. And I would say, not just all of these things, but ultimately, God, from the inside out, Lord, let me think the way that you think. because we can get caught up in trying to do all the right things to paint the perfect picture. But if God doesn't transform us first from the inside out, we're going to keep trying to do the right things the wrong way in our own strength. And so our prayer, Father, make me more like you.